The Gospel reading can be found on page 62 at the back of the Pew Bible. It's taken from Luke chapter 7, commencing at verse 1, and it's telling us about Jesus healing a centurion's servant. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly, and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Thanks be to God.
As we begin to look at this passage, Heavenly Father, I pray that whether listening or speaking, we may receive a new insight into this, your word. Amen. Well, at first glance, the story of the healing of the centurion's slave seems to be just another miracle story. But by the end, it's clear that the centurion's faith in Jesus is at the centre of this story. There's so much we don't know about this passage. We don't know how this centurion, this Roman centurion, heard about Jesus. We don't know anything about his military career, what wars he'd waged, what battles he'd fought. We don't know why he changed his mind after first asking Jesus to come to him and then sending his servants, telling Jesus he didn't need to come, but only he had to speak the word for his servant to be healed. And we don't know why he cared so deeply for his servant. And we don't know what happened either to the slave or the centurion after this encounter with Jesus. There's so much that we don't know. But we do know this. The Roman centurion had heard about Jesus and believed that he was capable of healing his beloved servant. But we can't overlook this one simple phrase that you heard in that reading. When he heard about Jesus, when the centurion, when he heard about Jesus. So how did the centurion learn about Jesus? The disciples hadn't been out and about yet. It's only just after Pentecost. They've only just been filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's further on in chapter 9 and again in chapter 10 that Jesus sends them out on their official discipleship, on their mission. Yet somehow the centurion heard about Jesus. A surprise perhaps to us. Because that is the nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had taught him about Jesus. We don't know how. It's one of those unexpected things that the Holy Spirit does. And here in our gospel reading, we see the Holy Spirit acting in ways we don't expect, in ways we don't understand. But we can also read this story of Jesus and the centurion as a tremendous story about the nature of faith. And when Jesus sees the demonstration of faith, He not only heals the servant, the centurion's servant, but also he's amazed. He says that. You know, it says, Luke says there, Jesus was amazed when he saw the centurion's faith. And it raises the question, so what is faith? Here we have the centurion who trusts Jesus' ability to heal so much that he sends his servants to tell Jesus to just stay away, to just say the word, and that will be sufficient. He has that much faith in what Jesus can do. He says, you know, you needn't even bother to show up. Just give a command. Why? Well, this centurion, he knows what authority is. And he believes that Jesus has that authority. And that is faith. He is, after all, a Roman centurion. We don't typically look on the legionnaires for examples of virtue, particularly not when it comes to Jewish religious figures. But this centurion is not only an unlikely hero, he's also an unexpected one. We see that Jesus himself is rather taken aback by the centurion's confidence in him. As we heard, Luke describes him as being amazed. Not even in Israel have I found such faith, Jesus says in response to the message that the centurion sent. But I suspect it wasn't only Jesus who was amazed. After all, Luke's original readers would have heard this story 30 or 40 years after the events took place. And one thing that hadn't changed across all those decades was that Rome was still in charge, still occupying Israel, still enforcing its will upon Israelites, both the highest and the lowest of them. Which means that this centurion is part of an occupying force. He's used to giving orders in the Roman army and having those orders obeyed. He is then one of those directly responsible for Israel's oppression. But that is probably the reason why this story is also shared in Matthew's gospel as well. It introduces us to the idea that just because this is a man of the Roman legion, it doesn't mean that he's incapable of doing good. Clearly, he already has done good, so much so that the Jewish leaders in his town commend him to Jesus. All of which means he's a bit more complex than perhaps many at the time want to make him out to be. He's a bit of an enigma to them. He's a Roman centurion and a man who does good for those in his community. He's part of the occupying force, oppressing Israel, and he builds synagogues for the townspeople under his authority. But also I think it's important that we notice that the centurion is speaking on one who has no voice in society. He's not speaking for himself, he's speaking for the slave. When our faith is used on behalf of another, when we intercede on behalf of others, it demonstrates and it celebrates how we are connected together in a web as members of the human race, especially at times of illness and tragedy. And that's how our faith can be demonstrated in the real world. This passage reminds us that we should never reduce someone to just one characteristic or to judge someone based on one element of who they are. After all, Jesus commends the faith of this Roman centurion, even though we have no particularly good reason to believe that he becomes a follower of Jesus. The centurion does not ask to follow Jesus or confess him as the Messiah, or even, it seems, he doesn't seem to be particularly interested in meeting him. He simply sees in Jesus authority that he recognises and, quite frankly, authority that he needs. Maybe he did become a disciple. Maybe not. Neither Jesus nor Luke seem particularly interested in whether he did or he didn't. Instead, Jesus praises his astounding faith, and Luke records it. But we do know that in this case, when Jesus encounters someone so utterly different from him, yet displaying faith, he does not ask him to convert or change or follow. He simply heals and praises. It set me wondering, how many other people who are not followers of Jesus is God using right now? I wonder how many people of other faiths we might be amazed about if we stopped to notice the good that they are doing. I wonder how many people of different faiths or of little faith we might see differently as God's beloved children if we keep this story in mind. Here's the thing. God loves everyone. God works through everyone. God has hopes and dreams for everyone. And we may be surprised who God chooses, who God works through, and who God acclaims. I think that may be helpful to keep in mind, particularly when we hear the news at the moment and we read our papers and we see how the politics and the rhetoric of the day is so charged with fear. And it's charged with fear of those who are different from us, or from a different country, or professing a different faith, or living in a different neighbourhood, or looking different from us, or giving different needs or hopes. To God, there is no other. They are only his beloved children. A colleague of mine is fond of saying that whenever we draw a line between who's in and who's out, we'll find Jesus on the other side of that line. Few, I think, would have expected Jesus to be startled by the faith of that Roman centurion. Yet he was, and that willingness to be surprised and even amazed, coupled with Jesus' commitment to God's purpose to heal and save the entire world, has changed history. So what might happen if we were similarly willing to be surprised by who God is using and similarly committed to sharing the news of God's love for all? I'm willing to bet that almost every person here knows and loves someone who isn't going to church, or who isn't particularly strong in their faith, or isn't a Christian at all. And yet that person may still be doing good works. So let us just realise that this person is also loved by God. And equally, this person can also be used by God to do good things. Let us also realise that this person may also demonstrate a faith that even Jesus would praise. And perhaps, again, Jesus would be amazed at their faith. So, 2 points I think we can take from this passage. Firstly, God will respond when we intercede in faith for people who have no voice. Secondly, God works through the unexpected people, even those who don't think of themselves as Christian. So as we take those two thoughts, let's end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of the interaction between the centurion, the slave, and Jesus. We pray for those who do not come to church, those who do not identify themselves as Christian, but still have faith in you. We thank you that they are in our lives, and we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will use them to do your will in the world. Let us pray that we may be less surprised that God uses people we do not expect, and pray that we may be less surprised that God chooses people we have already written off as not likely to do wonderful things. Let us pray that we will have in our hearts, our eyes and our ears, have them open to see God's love and work, which extends far beyond the limits of our church and our faith. And we pray all this in the name of one who appeared in the form of a man, was crucified on the cross, and who regularly appears in places where we don't expect God to be, the one who never, ever stops delighting in surprising us. Amen.